The title of this conference, Qualities to Encourage in the Directee. This conference contains a long list of qualities that should be encouraged in the directee. Since it is impossible for a person to be working at all of these qualities at the same time, it is suggested that the directee, with the help of the director, should choose one or two of these qualities to be emphasized between each session of spiritual direction. Gradually, over the years of one's life, it can be hoped that one will see noticeable progress in all or most of these qualities. There is indeed a great deal of interconnection between the various qualities, so that any advance in one area will make it easier for a person to advance in others. And so, probably the first quality to emphasize is that of a God-centered prayer life. The goal would be for a person to pray constantly and to pray always, every waking moment, when not otherwise totally preoccupied. This means from the first moment of awakening in the morning, the thought that predominates a person's whole day, and therefore one's whole life, is God and God's will. What does God want? What can I do to please God? So that one's whole life is centered in God. The practice of centering prayer is supposed to bring about this kind of a God-centered life. Secondly, a quality that must be emphasized throughout one's life is what might be called a service-centered life. To ask oneself constantly, what can I do to do the most good for the most people? How can I use my talents, my energy, my possessions, the opportunities to do as much good for others as possible as they are presented to me each day? A third quality has to do with oneself and might be called self-discipline. Self-control, detached from addictions, free and open to God, to truth, to new insights, open to change, to conversion, a willingness, therefore, to sacrifice one's old darlings when it has become necessary. Another quality would be that of balance. To lead a balanced life, which means the avoidance of fanaticism and extremism. A balance between opposite poles of truth. Therefore, the ability to maintain the required tension between these opposite poles. Examples of the opposite poles would be between work and play, between the old and the new, between this earth and heaven, between this life and life after death, between God and others, between others and oneself, between God and oneself, between justice and mercy, between the body and the soul, between physical health and spiritual health, between all four of those pairs of preferences in the MBTI, the Myers-Briggs type indicator, between extroversion and introversion, between sensing and intuition, between thinking and feeling, or if you wish, between the head and the heart, between judging and perceiving. This balance requires a great deal of stress in order to maintain the tension between opposites. And yet, this very tension is creative of new energy, new truth, new grace, new insights. In order to maintain such a tension of balance between opposite poles, one must also find a way to have relief from this constant tension. Some of the ways that this can be accomplished is through physical exercise, through sleep, through play, through recreation, through leisure, through the use of the hands, working with the hands, for example, in gardening, in carpentry, woodwork, painting, sculpture, any of the fine arts, and music, and so on. This balance is something that needs to be worked at throughout one's life. Another very important quality to encourage in the directee is a positive attitude toward God, toward others, toward oneself, toward the future, and toward the world. There is so much negativity in the world today. It is like a contagious psychic disease. And so one needs very much to struggle against this negative attitude towards God, others, self, the world, and the future. Another quality is the ability to change. The ability to be converted. To give up the old attachments when it becomes clear that it is right and best and is God's will to move on to something new and different. That means never to be wholly satisfied with the present situation. Always open, ready, and looking for ways to improve the present situation. Always growing, changing, developing. Always in process. And yet, at the same time, careful to hold on to all that is good of the past, while ready to cast overboard whatever of that past that is no longer of value or use. Such an attitude requires both wisdom and courage. The wisdom to know when it is necessary to leave the past, when it is necessary at times to stand alone, when it is necessary to disagree with others, when it is necessary to be willing to go it alone when everyone else is choosing to go in a different direction. This is really the experience of the cross, of crucifixion, of having one's life pulled apart in different directions. Such an attitude requires a loyalty to all the traditions of the past that are still valid, and at the same time open to valid criticism of these old traditions when new knowledge, new truth, new revelation has clearly shown one or the other of these traditions to have been mistaken. And yet at the same time careful not to throw out the baby with the bathwater, not to throw away the good and the still valid traditions and insights of old. In other words, able to separate the wheat from the chaff, both of the old and of the new. All of this requires a deep inner faith, trust, and hope in God. That God will never abandon the human race or any part of it, but will always be ready to intervene at the appropriate time when God knows best. Other qualities to encourage in the directee would be a seriousness of purpose, a total commitment, a total surrender of one's will to God and to God's will, after the example of Jesus, who said, "I do always the things that please my Heavenly Father." At the same time, along with this total commitment, this seriousness of purpose, another quality that must be encouraged is a sense of humor. The willingness and the ability to laugh at oneself and not to take oneself too seriously, which means the willingness to admit openly to others as well as to oneself that one has been mistaken, that one has taken a blind alley, that one has to come back and try something else. This comes from a deep humility, a realization that I am not God, that I am not totally responsible for the world today, and therefore a trust in God to take care of His creation. At the same time, a willingness to do our part, even though that may be something very little. A sincere desire to do all in our power for God, for others, and for one's own final destiny. Another quality to be encouraged in the directee is tolerance for others. The willingness to live with others that have some and totally different way of looking at things. And that means to be humble enough to realize that one does not have a total grasp of truth, that others may have insights of truth that are still blind to oneself. At the same time, the courage to stick by one's convictions, even when one is not absolutely certain that they are true. Open always to some new insights that others might have, and therefore the willingness always to change. A quality that goes along with this is to be a good listener. A willingness to stop one's own conversation the moment one sees that someone else, a companion, wishes to speak. A constant openness and awareness that others have rights, that others may want to give some new insight. Therefore, never to be so convinced that one alone has all the truth, but that everyone has something worthwhile to contribute. And therefore, a quality to encourage in the directee is a respect for the opinions and the decisions and the convictions of others, a willingness to live and let live. And this means a refusal to pass judgment on others. Even when others do things that are manifestly evil, at the same time, one can say, "I still do not understand why that person has done this or that." In other words, I may judge the action that this person has done as being bad, wrong, or evil, but I will refuse to judge that person and condemn that person as evil. This is, of course, the attitude that Jesus had on the cross when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." This desire to live at peace with others will lead a person to be willing to make compromises in all the non-essentials in order to reach consensus with others in the really essential things in life. One of the very first qualities to be encouraged in the directee is the sincere desire to grow in holiness and wholeness. The deep, persistent desire to have a growing intimacy with God and with Jesus Christ, and a good, loving relationship with others, as well as a good self-image and a proper attitude towards oneself. Sanctity, holiness, maturity should be so attractive to the directee that a person is willing to make any sacrifice, to go to any extreme in order to attain this goal and this destiny. Among other things, the four qualities that Carl Jung talks about as being necessary for maturity, or what he calls individuation, are four qualities that need to be encouraged throughout one's life. These qualities go by the four names of authenticity, significance, transparency, and solidarity. The quality of authenticity is to be totally honest about oneself in regards to oneself, to be totally open both to what is good in oneself and what is bad or evil, and to be ready to accept the fact that there are many, many things about oneself, what we call the shadow, the unconscious, that one does not know at the present time, and therefore to be constantly seeking for new truth, new insights, new knowledge about oneself. To be totally authentic, to try to know who one is, what is one's strengths as well as one's limitations, and to be at peace with that, to be willing to accept oneself as God has made that person. The second quality of a truly individuated, mature person is that of significance. This is the quality that has to do with our relationship with God. It is to be aware that each one of us has been given a significant place in the overall plan of God regarding creation. That none of us is to be wasted. That every one of us has an important role to play in establishing the kingdom of God. That we are somebody special to God. And we are truly significant and important. Such a quality, such a conviction, gives tremendous dignity to oneself and enables us to have self-respect and to demand, in a certain sense, a proper respect from others, that we are worthwhile. The third quality that Carl Jung talks about as necessary for a mature person is that of transparency. And this has to do with our openness to other people, other individuals, an openness to love, both to give and to receive love, to be transparent, which means to run the risk of being hurt. It means to be vulnerable. It means to be willing to keep going out in love to other individuals, even if there have been bad experiences in the past of having that love rejected. And that would mean what Henry Nouwen calls the wounded healer. A transparent person is a person, yes, who has been wounded, who has been rejected, who has been hurt, and yet has the ability still to be open to others, both in receiving love from others and in giving love. To be totally transparent to another person, to lay oneself open to that person in a total gift of oneself, and in turn to be able and willing to allow that other person to make this total gift of himself or herself to us. This is the quality of transparency. A fourth quality is that of solidarity, a sense of oneness with the whole human race, a realization that we are all brothers and sisters, that we are all children of God, and therefore that we must stick together, a sense that all of us are in situations where we need the help of one another. And that means the willingness both to give help to others and to receive help. A result of this quality of solidarity is the sense of community. The willingness that to join with others as a group, to work together with others in community, rather than trying to go it alone. It's the realization that no one of us is an island, that no one of us can cut ourselves off completely from others, that we are dependent upon them and that they in turn are dependent upon us, that God has so arranged his creation that every one of us has both our strengths as well as our limitations, that none of us have it all together, but together we have it all. Another necessary quality to encourage in the directee is the ability to handle suffering and pain and failure. The ability to rise above one's failures and not to remain discouraged and depressed when things do not turn out the way we would like for them to do. The willingness to suffer physical pain with as much patience and tolerance as possible. This comes about, I think, particularly when a person has so completely accepted as one's destiny to please God, to do God's will, which means to accept our human condition, our creatureliness, our limitations, our failures, our faults. The ability to handle suffering in a positive way is what is meant by that beatitude. Blessed are they who understand the meaning of suffering. Another way that this willingness comes about is to have a tremendous hunger and thirst for holiness and sanctity. This is a part of that sincere desire, to be so intensely desirous of more wisdom, of more love, of more grace, of more holiness, that one is willing to pay the price regardless of how high that price might be in the way of pain and suffering and sacrifice. Another quality to encourage in the directee is a love of freedom, an intense desire to be free, an appreciation of freedom, a desire, therefore, to be detached from every addiction, the desire to be always open to new things, the desire to be free of all enslavement, whether it be to pleasure, to possessions, or to power. Those three great temptations that even Jesus had to endure in the desert, and that are constant temptations to us all of our life, to make a god out of pleasure, a god out of possessions, or a god out of power. Freedom means that we no longer are enslaved to these idols, but that we are constantly open and free to go on to something else. Freedom of spirit, freedom to be open to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. Another part of this freedom is the freedom from fear. The fear of death, the fear of pain, the fear of failure. The willingness to face death, to face the possibility of death at all times. to be ready at any moment to lay down our life, to be ready at any moment to leave everything that we have and to pass on to whatever God might have in the future. Such a quality comes about only if a person has lived with this possibility of death and has accepted it and is able to be at peace with it. This can come about only if a person is totally convinced that God knows best, that God knows when it is the right time for us to die and to pass on, that the life on earth is not all there is to life. And therefore, the readiness to give it up, to lay it aside, the very moment that God chooses to take us. That's the quality, for example, that the wife of Lot did not have. She turned and looked back at what she had to give up when they left Sodom. We must never look back, but always look ahead to what God has in store for us. This is possible only if we have a deep, childlike faith and trust in God. Therefore, perhaps the final quality that covers all the others to be encouraged in the directee is that little way of spiritual childhood about which St. Therese the Little Flower has written so beautifully in her autobiography. The little way of spiritual childhood is to have total, blind faith and trust in God's love, in God's power, in God's goodness, in God's wisdom, and in God's promises to save us and to take care of us. This is the end of this conference.